My next guest was a lost boy, but now he's found. His last album was a fucking classic. You can listen to that shit from start to finish. For his new body of work, he's giving up a whole new perspective. He's the best rapper under 25, and he gotta go down as one of the greatest. Thank you for being here, Corday. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm doing well, bro. Doing well. No complaints.
Yeah, I saw you had a long night. First time on Jimmy Fallon. Is that right?
No, it's my second. It's my second time.
Second time. So, yeah, so like everything is getting bigger and bigger for this new album that you're bringing out in January. And it's your sophomore album, which is like the turning point in the career of a musician. Do you deal with any pressure? Because the most musicians say like my second album is like the hardest to do.
Nah, this joint was easy for me, bro. You know, I think the pandemic helped and hurt in a way. But that's why I took a little minute, man, because it was very important for me to have a great second album. You know, it's a lot of people with good first albums. It's a lot of people, really a good amount of people with good first albums. But the second album is like almost more important than the first.
Yeah, man, I thought about it. Like, who are the top rappers that had like super good second albums, like Drake, Take Care, Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City, Late Registration by Kanye, and even like for you, your favorite artist and your favorite album, it's like Nas, It Was Written, his second album. So
for sure.
So did you, I heard that you didn't use your phone for like 8 months in the pandemic and when you recorded the album. So how did that shape your perspective to just become better?
Yeah, it kind of just allowed me to not let any like social distractions get in the way, because these phones are an incredible thing within itself. Because, you know, they have so many capabilities technologically, and just so many things you can do within just the scope of this small handheld device, right? But it's also a distraction. That's one of the downfalls of society, because we spend too much time glued into our phones doing unproductive things, and myself included. And I found myself, you know, it would be a disservice to myself and the world if I gave my phone too much time, you know? So I had to back away from it, but I was still using the iPad, though. I wasn't completely, you know, I'm not even going to sit here and act like I'm holier than that. I was definitely, you know, tapping in on my iPad every now and then. But yeah,
that's on Coach Carter. You're saying this bitch Temptation is calling my name. So you're just trying to
ring.
Yeah. But yeah, your new album is titled From a Bird's Eye View. What can we understand by the title of it?
Yeah, to see things from a zoomed out lens, to see things from outside of ourselves. You know, as humans, we tend to have main character syndrome. You know, I said that yesterday, but it's the truth. And you just got to see things from a broader perspective, and just giving you things that I've seen, I've witnessed, giving you my experience from a bird's eye view, no pun intended.
So your mother told you to start a diary. Before you, I think in 2020 when the pandemic hit, did this get you a wider view on your life and the people around you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It definitely impacted that. And it just got my writing a lot better, my articulation a lot better, just practicing, you know, actually pen to pad writing versus, you know, just the notes app. But yeah, definitely helped for sure.
And that was what I was thinking when I heard the new songs. Like, I had a feeling that you changed your style of writing, not really in like this huge way, but on The Lost Boy was beautiful. You had beautiful stories and those stories were just told. But now I feel like it's literature. You explain the stories. Is it because you write in a different way, or do you just became more mature?
I think I've just gotten better, honestly. You know, anything you do, if you do it long enough, you're going to have no choice but to get good at it. You know, these first couple of years, my first time being a professional artist full time. So it's only by nature that I'm going to get better at it, you know?
Yeah, but that's you're not just an artist. You're doing like so many different business aspects. I mean, you're super smart. When you came in the industry, you did the deal with Puma. You talked about your Coca-Cola thing, and just you built your own brand. Like, because I don't think that's normal for a rapper in your age, because most of them just want to focus on music. But who told you about those business aspects, or did you just learn it?
I mean, a lot of my idols, like a Kanye West, a Kendrick, a Jay-Z, a Nas, a Drake, you know, they've always like set the standard. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But this is not like a specific situation, because I've also heard that you read a lot. When you were in Africa for like 4 months, you learned about your culture, you try to read more, to do more literature things. How did that change your perspective on things?
It didn't really change it. It just heightened it, if that makes sense. You know, just it just heightened it in a sense. So I think all of that combined just sort of gave me a different aspect of writing.
But was the time in Ghana like your first time for a longer period away from the US?
Yeah, that was my first time in ever being in the continent of Africa. So being in Ghana was a movie within itself.
And when you were there and you just learning so much, reading so much, do you saw some mutuality in the literature that you were studying and your own music?
No, not really. But it had this library at W.E.B. Du Bois Monument, which is the house he used to live at. They have this library in there, and it was so many dope, incredible books out there. And they let me borrow some. They wouldn't let me keep or have any of the books, but they were kind enough to let me borrow some when I was out there. So I was just out there doing a lot of reading.
But have you always been like a bookworm in high school, or is it just a thing that is coming back to you?
You know, it's funny. I used to be a bookworm in elementary school. Like, I used to read Harry Potter books all the time. I used to read all of these like fiction books. And then my mom was just like, yo, if you can read, you know, Harry Potter, you can read, you know, about your own history. And but I haven't read on my own leisure, like willingly, since like sixth grade. This is like probably the first year I started back reading again, like on my own leisure, you know?
But I think that's like the thing of our generation. I'm the same age as you, and all of us just read in the elementary school, and then like fifth or sixth grade, like cell phones coming, like PlayStations coming, and the temptation is too big now.
Absolutely. It's too much things that the brain is going to go.
Yeah, definitely. But what I also thought about, I mean, it's now your sophomore album, and people probably don't know that, but not a lot of people know that, like, your catalog is way bigger than just like the YBN mixtape and the Lost Boy mixtape. So yeah, you had, like, your three mixtape series before that, and even if we go way deeper into your history, you published on Instagram the freestyle where you rapped over Kanye beat. But nowadays, when you have all of this trouble going on, you have to go to Jimmy Fallon, you're doing interviews, you have High Level, your own label, you're going mogul with it. Do you miss like those days where you just started to rap just because you want to rap?
Hell no, I don't. I don't miss them at all, honestly. I wake up every day and I just thank God, man. I just have infinite gratitude. I'm very present in this moment, you know? And just gratitude, man, seriously. Like, I understand I deserve to be here. I work to be here. You know, I'm not just one of those happy-go-lucky. I'm just happy to be here. Like, no, I'm not surprised by it. I'm not lucky. I've worked very hard to get here, but I would never take for granted, you know, the fact that I do music full time. I make music for a living, man, full time, and a pretty good living, you know? And I thank God every day, man. I'd be an idiot not to, man. I live an incredible life, man. And I'm able to inspire people. I'm able to touch into the hearts and souls and emotions of millions of people. And I get to do it my way, you know? So, I'm very grateful. So no. I say all that to say, hell no, I do not miss drop. Like, I used to spend all of this time making these mixtapes, man. And for 3,000 people to hear it, maybe, you know, and that's if the mixtape going crazy, you know, like spending, and I'm crafting and curating these mixtapes as a young and as a teenager, as if like, it was like albums, you know, this is how I'm looking at it. I'm like arguing with my boy. And, like it's like a Grammy winning, a Grammy, like it's going to get a Grammy or something like that. Like, it's just going to change my life, you know? So I say that to say, no, I don't. I don't. I get a little nostalgia from it, but no, I don't miss it.
Yeah, that's like the whole point. I think you brought like a concept to every mixtape that you get in. It's not like your typical beginning SoundCloud 7 tracks, 5 tracks mixtape, and that's it. Like it was way deeper than that. And
nah, for sure.
Yeah, I really love the fact that like everything is evolving around you, and now you started High Level, your own record label. But where do you want to head with that? Like, I mean, you're in the studio and you told stories that you're in the studio for like 14 hours, except on Sunday, which I think is really incredible to just like do you at some point. But where you want to go beside the music thing as like the head of a record label?
Yeah, within the next year, I'm gonna sign a platinum artist. I haven't signed my first artist quite yet because, you know, with this brand, I'm building it very carefully, brick by brick, you know, and I just need an artist that's gonna represent High Level to the fullest and where I'm able to fully put them in position to excel.
But you mean by platinum artist, artist that is already platinum, you're gonna make him platinum, or an artist that's definitely going to be
artist that I'll make platinum, that has platinum potential.
And how long was that in the making, like the thought of High Level?
Like 2 years, 2-3 years.
Okay, 2-3 years. I have one last question, because you posted your track list recently, and yeah, I saw one joint that we need to talk about. I know you probably know what it is. You got Stevie Wonder on a song with Nas and Freddie Gibbs. Like, yeah, how did that happen?
I'm either going to go to jail or heaven. I'm going to either go to jail or be celebrated forever for putting Freddie Gibbs and Stevie Wonder on the same record.
Man, I saw the track list and I was just like, that's like the fucking best move somebody could ever do. And from a young guy like you, I just fully respect like every decision that you're doing out there and you're doing your music. And yeah, from a bird's eye view, is out on January 14. I'm really hyped. Corday, do you have any last words for the people out there?
Yeah, nah, just much love to everybody out there. Much love to you. I appreciate the love and support, man. I don't take it for granted, man. Just for giving me an ear and a listen. I really appreciate it. That's love for life.